Good morning and welcome to worship with Greystone Baptist. Greystone is a place where everybody is welcome. It doesn't matter who you are or where you come from. It doesn't matter what you do professionally or in your spare time. We believe that we are all God's beloved children, each and every one, and that we are created for community and created to be in relationship with one another. And so we give God thanks for the gift of community, the gift of church, which is the body of Christ in the world and which does have room for each and every one of us to belong. Today, we are in week three of a three-part series in which we are talking about stewardship. Specifically, we're talking about financial stewardship, but what we are learning is that each and every week, our conversation expands so far beyond money. So I think it's fair to say that what we're talking about in these 3 weeks is really generosity. And today we welcome Emily and Dustin Tuttle into a conversation about giving generously. And I know that you will be enlivened, refreshed to hear their stories of stewardship, their stories of generosity, to learn about who taught them how to be generous people and what Scripture has to say to them about that, and also how they hope that they will leave a legacy of generosity with their children. And I also have to say that just hearing them tell these stories and dream out loud about the kind of legacy they might lead is challenging. It's a challenge for each and every one of us to consider exactly the same things as we seek to live our lives as generous people, followers of Jesus Christ, who gave absolutely everything for the kingdom of God and for the building up of that kingdom here on earth. So as we prepare for worship today, we ask that the Spirit of God blow into this space wherever it is that we find ourselves and open us heart, mind, body, and soul to the movement of God's generous Spirit in our lives, in our world, and in our church. Let's worship God.
Please pray with me. Loving Creator, giver of joy, peace, love, and life. We give you thanks and praise for all the wonders and fruits of creation you have so freely and generously given us. We ask for the courage to open our hearts and receive all that you offer us. And we ask for the awareness to know your eternal presence within and all around us, in our families, our friends, and our communities. We thank you for the power of your life-giving love, which vibrates through all things and draws us back to you. You have blessed us with our very being. Please grant us with the wisdom to give ourselves completely back to you. Amen.
Right? But I've heard it several times in worship over the last few weeks. So I kind of wondered what it really means. Stewardship means taking care of something. So when we talk about the word stewardship here at Greystone, we're talking about how we can take care of our church. One of the many ways that we do that is by giving our money in the offering plate. I'm sure you remember seeing that when we were at church and the offering plate would come by. And moms and dads and grandpas and grandmas and kids, and everybody would put some money in that offering plate. Have you ever wondered what happens to it and where that money goes? That money helps Greystone do lots of things. It helps us keep our building. It helps us keep all of the things that are in our building, like the paper and crayons and pencils and all of the things that we love when we're together doing Sunday school and having church together. It also helps us do things like this, like our online worship. It helps us do our recording and be able to send it out to you. It helps your ministers be able to do their work. But one of the things I love about when we give our money at Greystone is it helps us do things out in our community and in our world. All of the money doesn't stay right there on our campus, in our building. We like to give some of that money away to show other people how much God loves them. There are lots of ways that we do that. One of them is with Mark and Kim Wyatt, helping refugees find a safe and loving place to live when they come to America. Another way we do that is through our garden. You've been part of that. Remember how we would plant vegetables in our garden and we would help them grow? And when they were all done, we would either cut them down or dig them up, depending on what we planted. I remember we had so much fun digging up sweet potatoes last year. Just last week, Miss Karen went by and cut down a lot of our broccoli that has been growing. And she took a big box over it to North Raleigh Ministries. And that broccoli went straight to people who were hungry and needed food. There might be some people enjoying some broccoli for Thanksgiving this year, all because of our garden at Greystone. That's one of the many ways that we help people. So when we think about stewardship and giving money to Greystone to help our church, we're not just helping our own people. We're helping people all over Raleigh and really all across the world. Some of our money goes to CBF, Cooperative Baptist Fellowship. They have missionaries all over the world showing and telling people how much God loves them. So when we put our money in the offering plate, it helps them too. So you might be wondering, I'm just a kid. What does this have to do with me? Well, I bet you've got some money somewhere. Probably in your piggy bank, or maybe you get an allowance or birthday presents or anything like that. Anytime that you're thinking about Greystone and you're thankful for Greystone, maybe you could talk to mom and dad and give them just a little bit of your money so that they can add that to what they give to Greystone. No, we're not passing the offering plate anymore, but mom and dad know how to get it to church. They can write a check and mail it to us. They can actually give to the church right on their phone or from their computer. There are lots of ways. They know how to do it, I promise. So, if you have $5, what if you gave 50 cents of that and gave it to the church? I know 50 cents doesn't really seem like a lot, but if all of you gave 50 cents, it would all add up. And that money could do a lot of good for a lot of people. Being a good steward and taking care of our church and taking care of the people around us is something that makes God really happy. So whenever you think about it and when you have a chance, I'd really love for you to be a good steward too. The Bible tells us that God loves a cheerful giver. We like to smile when we give and when we help church because we know that that help helps somebody else who helps somebody else who helps somebody else. I'm really thankful for the people who are helping Greystone. And I look forward to you being one of those people too, whether you do it now or when you're grown up. But I bet you can go ahead and start doing it now. Whether you're 5 years old or 8 years old, I know you can do it. Let's be good stewards together.
I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Life is not my own, to you I belong. I give myself to you. My life is not my own, to you I belong. I give myself to you. My life is not my own, to you I belong. I give myself to you. My life is not my own, to you I belong. I give myself to you.
On this Sunday, given to thanks and giving, let us turn our hearts and open our spirits to the words of Scripture, our first teacher of prayer. And so, with glad and joyous hearts, we receive now Psalm 65 as our prayer for this morning and for this week. Praise is due to you, O God in Zion. And to you shall be vows performed, O you who answer prayer. To you all flesh shall come, and when deeds of iniquity overwhelm us, you forgive our transgressions. Happy are those whom you choose to bring near to live in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple. By awesome deeds, you answer us with deliverance, O God of our salvation. You are the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas. By your strength, you established the mountains and are girded with might. You silenced the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, the tumult of the peoples. Those who live at earth's farthest bounds are awed by your signs. You make the gateways of the morning and the evening shout for joy. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water, and you provide the people with grain, for so you have prepared it. You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers, and blessing its growth. You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with richness. The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together for joy. People of Greystone, may we join this morning all of creation in giving thanks and praise to our Lord. Amen.
Good morning. Today is Commitment Sunday, which is the culmination of our season of stewardship. Throughout this season, you have heard from folks in our congregation about giving thanks, giving life, and later in this worship service, you'll hear two more church members share their stories about giving generously. The truth is, God has given to us more than we could ever repay with any act of financial stewardship. In fact, giving is in God's very nature. God gives. In response to God's generosity, we give our tithes and offerings to the church as a way of supporting and enabling the body of Christ to exist and thrive in the world. Our outreach and mission projects are made possible by our tithes as well as our time and talents. By our generous giving, we will be able to accomplish great things in God's name. As we consider all the many gifts we have received from God, let us respond with generosity, faithfulness, and great hope for all that God is doing in our midst. If you've already submitted your pledge for 2021, we thank you. If you haven't yet returned your pledge card, you can do so today online or by mailing it to the church's secure mailbox at 7474 Creedmoor Road, Box 302, Raleigh, North Carolina, 27613. If you've already submitted your pledge but feel led to increase your commitment, we'll accept that too. Thank you for your partnering with us in great hope for all that is to come. Thank you.
2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you've made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, the spring is here and the flowers are all in bloom. There's a new creation that's ready to leave the womb. She is birthed into unity. She only knows one community. Then starts to feel love and pain as expressions of what is real. As we turn the pages throughout the years, we all share the same hopes and fears. Yeah, everyone has a story to tell. Yeah, everyone has a story to tell. And if we could see our lives caught in a picture, we would know that we're all living scripture. Because everyone has a story to tell. Yeah, everyone has a story to tell.
Hey, Greystone, and welcome back to our three-part series on stewardship, a series in which we've talked about giving, giving thanks, giving life, and today we're here to talk about giving generously. So we are joined by Emily and Dustin Tuttle, who are generous people, and that's why I invited them to come and to be with us today as we explore this topic of giving generously. So I thought we might begin where we've begun with our other two guests who've been a part of this conversational series, and asking about our primary teachers of whatever the topic is today. And so our conversation with Emily and Dustin is going to begin with that same question. So Emily, Dustin, welcome.
Thank you.
And thank you for being here today.
Yeah, of course.
I wanted you to have an opportunity just to tell our church, your church family, about how you learned the lesson of giving generously. Who were your primary teachers, and what do you remember of those early lessons about generosity?
You can start.
Okay, I'll go first. So my primary person who taught me, I believe, is my mother. And I think it started with us going to church and always seeing her every week writing a check for tithe going to church, whether it was as we were driving in the car or while we were sitting in the pews, and just having that conversation and just always seeing her do that. And also when we got an allowance, I remember, you know, we started off getting a dollar, and it was always given to us in dimes and in coins. So that way we could learn, okay, this dime is what you need to put into the offering plate when it's coming past, and this is what you can put to save, and then this is what you can do, the money that you have, to go do and have fun. You can choose what you want to do with it.
That's awesome.
And for me, I think about my grandmother. Even still, she's in her 80s now, but even still, she is always making food for people. I don't know how many times that I can count that, you know, I call her and ask her what she's up to, and she says, oh, you know, just fixing some chicken dumplings or pimento cheese, you know, this person's in the hospital, or somebody just died and I need to send something to the family. And that was the main way that my roommate knew that I had gone home from college, is that she would send back enough food for me to share with friends at college. But yeah, I learned giving from both her and my mom that, and it was expected in my family that you get in there and help, that if, you know, we're fixing something in the kitchen, you're stirring something on the stove, or you're helping putting things in containers, or you're riding with mom to go and deliver something to somebody who's sick or whose family member just died. And, you know, there was a strong connection to the church. You know, the people that they were doing for were their church family, that had supported them when they needed supporting, and so they were there supporting others, and they were very generous with what they did for other people and still are.
I love that, the way that y'all have both described this. Generosity seems like it's contagious, you know, like it affects one person and then it continues to affect others kind of down this line. You mentioned your roommate, and then I imagine word got out on the hall that you had home baked goods.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I wonder, you know, just thinking about your family members, and you know, you mentioned their church families, you know, I wonder how far back those ripples go.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And the other thing is, you know, you talked about money, and I have this visual now of your aunt, I think you said, writing a check. Was it your aunt or your
My
mother?
Mom.
Your mother writing a check while she was driving.
Well, she was riding.
Okay.
She was not the driver of the car.
I was going to say, we need to interrupt this program for a disclaimer. Do not write your tithe check while you're driving to work.
Please be safe
church.
While you're driving. Yeah. Do not be distracted.
That's right. Hands on the wheel. But, you know, in both stories, when you're talking about giving generously, financially, writing a check, giving online, whatever, or giving generously with your time and talent. So making food for people who need it, who are just going through a rough patch or who are hungry. Those are two very different ways of living your generosity, but they're both deeply rooted in the Christian faith and in that experience of being in a community, a church community. So I wonder, you know, churches and Christianity are both kind of grounded in scripture. And we talked about how those ripples go backwards and forwards when people are kind of set free to be generous. I wonder if there are any pieces of scripture that you remember when you think about generosity, when you remember your mother or your grandmother or for you yourselves, how does scripture kind of reinforce this spiritual practice for you?
You can go first this time.
Okay. Well, some of the things that we had thought about with that kind of, that question were the story of the widow's mite, mm-hmm. the scripture about being a cheerful giver, an inverse example being the story of the rich young ruler who, you know, Jesus told him, you know, sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And that would be an extreme level of generosity, and not something he was willing to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just how hard that would have been.
Oh, yeah.
And then you have the widow who gave everything that she had.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's a really interesting kind of framework when you think about those three pieces of scripture that you have identified. You know, if you think about the widow and the widow's mite as being a poor woman, right? She only had one mite to offer, and yet she gave.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other end of the spectrum, you have the rich young ruler who has more mites than he could count, right? More money than he knew what to do with, and yet he couldn't give any of it. So that's those are two extremes. And so we as modern day Christians kind of situate ourselves between those two extremes. And then we have that third piece of scripture that you mentioned just a moment ago, which is our scripture for today. And I wanted to read some of that here. I know we just heard it read in the service a moment ago, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, there's this piece about how God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance. That word abundance really kind of leaps off the page. So that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. So to me, and listening to you all and knowing you a little bit, you know, we're in between the widow and the rich young ruler, somewhere right in the middle there.
Mm-hmm.
But scripture reminds us that God has given us enough. And not just enough to make ends meet, but in abundance, right? And so we just have to have faith that God will continue to provide. But the call, I think, for us is to give generously out of that faith that tells us that we have enough. Mm-hmm. And that's what I hear when I hear your stories. You know, there are so many more stories than we have time to capture today. But just knowing you guys and hearing a little bit about who you are and who God is calling you to be, reading this scripture seems to resonate kind of with how you guys put yourself in that framework between the widow and the rich young ruler. So we've talked a little about your past. We've talked a little bit about scripture and about how that underlines or underscores your understanding of generosity, giving generously. I wonder what God's up to in your life now. How is God teaching you about generosity?
You want to start? Or do you want me to?
You can.
Okay. Well, you know, now that we have two boys and one that is becoming very vocal and engaged and watching everything. Yeah.
Watching everything.
Yes. You know, we're thinking about what we do and say and how we're modeling generosity to the both of them. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we've talked about is when they start coming into service with us, making sure that we switch over to writing a check and putting it in the plate, doing what Emily's mom did, mm-hmm. and making sure that they see that act that we're doing. You know, they won't really understand if we tell them, oh, it's coming out of the bank account. You know, what's a bank account? but they can see us putting it in the plate when they're beside us every week.
Yep. Yeah. And having that be a constant thing that they see us doing, mm-hmm. and not...
It's okay, not just, oh, it's Christmas, so we're going to write a check.
Or, you know, right now we have the money coming out once a month. Right. They'll see us doing it every week, constantly, whenever we're here.
Right. Wow, that's powerful. I love what you just said about not just at Christmas, right? Yeah. And not mm-hmm. just, you know, a lot of us will, and millennials are the worst about this, we'll give a gift when we feel inspired, right? Yeah. Or when we feel motivated, or when somebody does something that we think is really cool, and we'll put a 20 in the plate. But that's not really what financial stewardship is. It's a discipline and a mm-hmm. rhythm and a sacred commitment that we make with God and our families about how God's calling us forward. So I love it. I love what you just said about it's not just at Christmas. It's every day. It's the ordinary season as well.
Yeah.
And I do have to ask, do you plan to give your children allowance in dimes?
We've not talked about specific.
But probably.
But probably. I would guess so, yeah.
I mean, it's a good... it's a good thing to start learning about money and
absolutely.
That things have value and what that is, and to be able to hold it in your hand mm-hmm. and to actually place it somewhere. Yeah. It gives it a little bit more significance.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's a really great idea. I might steal it, but I'll give your mom credit for it. So I wonder also, I'll give you a leading question.
All right.
Okay.
When we were kind of thinking about how we wanted this conversation to go today, we kind of meandered toward legacy. And I wonder if you would be comfortable sharing with the congregation a little bit about kind of how y'all are thinking about legacy and long term, and what kind of impact you want to leave. Not only, I guess, twofold. You'd like to leave an impact, and you want to teach your children about that as well. So yeah. Tell us a little bit about that journey for you guys right now.
Yeah, we've been planning our wills. Yeah. We're
almost finally getting it signed. Yeah, yeah. We've been planning the will since before Sean was born.
We've got the basics, but you know, we need something that actually says, "Oh, this is what happens to the children."
That's so a difficult decision.
Yeah. Yes. So we're getting that in place now, and so we've been thinking about how much do we want to leave them? How do we want that to be handled? What do we need to do with the money that we leave behind so that it's a blessing for them? Mm-hmm. And then also, once we feel like they're covered, you know, who do we want to bless and how do we want to be generous with what we leave behind? Because we don't feel like we need to leave everything to Sean and Liam, you know, that there are other things that hold our heart as well. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we've talked about one of the places that we want to give is back to our colleges. Mm-hmm.
We felt that it really helped define who we are as people and helped us mm-hmm. grow into mm-hmm. the people we have become.
Yeah.
And want to be able to help pass that on for others too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it holds a very personal connection to us, you know, mm-hmm. like you've talked about with defining who we are and helping us grow. Specifically for me, I've wanted to give back to the scholarship program that I was involved in. And so leaving money and a legacy to them would mean that they're able to continue that work. You know, they were the group that caused me to think critically about what I was doing and what was going on around me, how I'm interacting with things. And that's what helps me as I'm thinking about causes that we want to get involved in, how we want to leave our money. A fellow alum of that program helped to co-found a giving circle that while the monetary amount that each individual gave was fairly small. And I mean, it did, you know, it adds up mm-hmm. for the groups that are impacted. And that giving circle worked really hard to engage experts in subject matter to help the members learn about an issue that's going on to then allow them to choose a recipient of a grant that might not receive it otherwise mm-hmm. and specifically a local group that they could get involved with locally or, you know, intimately, personally. And that's the kind of thing that we want to continue doing, making sure that what we're involved in means something to us. It's not just us writing a check.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about how, you know, we feel like Greystone is doing that too.
Oh yeah.
It's
a community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have a church family, and it really is a family. And so, yes, you can write a check and just send it off to someone, but it means more mm-hmm. when you're giving to something where they give back to you as well. And, you know, we're getting this community out of it. And mm-hmm. so we want to help our community do more things and reach more people.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, we talked about specifically the refugee mm-hmm. partners that Greystone does ministry with and helps support financially. And also with time, you know, we have church members who are out there, helping get apartments set up and who are helping folks get to and from church, mm-hmm. you know, setting up clinics. And
I think I saw tutoring for kids and helping the children. Yeah.
And so while we could just make that part of our line item mission budget, you know, it's a connection. It's real people. It's personal.
Yeah. You know, the sermon that we heard last week, the conversational piece, was about giving life. And it was interesting as we heard the stories about mission, which was the intent of the conversation, to talk about how, you know, we as the body of Christ are breathing life into our community. You know, the opposite happens, right? Life is breathed back into us. And I think the same thing happens with our financial gift, with mm-hmm. our financial stewardship and our kind of movement into more and more generosity as God calls us to be generous people with our time, with our resources, kind of with our whole selves. The more we give, the more is given to us. And so there's a reciprocity to it. And again, just those ripples. It doesn't matter how large or small the gift, you know, to your point about the giving circle. Our generosity has a way of being multiplied when it you know, mashes together with God's love and the community of Christ to create kind of a timeless impact in our communities and for the people who come here and call this place church. I think that's really, really, really interesting and motivating. You know, I want to be a part of something like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I want to kind of wrap up the conversation today with a shift. We've talked about you guys. We've talked about your past, your present, your future, and the ways that you're thinking about legacy. And that's really profound. I want to name that. But I wonder if you have any insight as to how God might be calling us as a church to become a more generous people, kind of collectively. You have any thoughts about that?
One of the things that Emily and I had discussed before was one of the things that that Giving Circle group did for me was to challenge me to step outside where I would normally give. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's easy for us to say, okay, we're giving an amount to Greystone because it's, you know, we talked about it's a habit. It's that, mm-hmm. it's that discipline that we've always done, that our families have always done. Yeah. And that's something we do because we hold it close to our hearts and it's connected to our lives every day. Mm-hmm. But the Giving Circle made it a purpose to seek out folks who had different knowledge base, who had different life experiences, and then took it upon themselves to be educated mm-hmm. by those individuals. They didn't take for granted, oh, I know what you need, kind of thing. You know, they let them be taught. And I think Greystone's in that moment too, that moment of, how do we go beyond what we've always done? Mm-hmm. Where do we learn from? How do we seek out the gaps in our knowledge, the people who can be the partners that we can't be, that can help us go where we have never gone and challenge us to give beyond the monetary, to that time and effort and mm-hmm. really get us to a new place.
Yeah, and going beyond just writing a check and, you know, time is such a commodity. Mm-hmm. And it's so hard to, you know, break away and do different things. And so it really speaks volumes, I think, with where you spend your time. Because mm-hmm. your money, it's something that you can write a check or you can deposit and, you know, you can send it in an instant.
Yeah.
But if you're going to go and spend a couple hours doing something, it's bigger.
Wow. That's a really bold call for this church.
Yeah.
It's exciting and it's really bold because what I heard you two just call us to is not only is first to expand, mm-hmm. right? Is to allow the Spirit of God to stretch us into new relationships. That will not relationships where we go and do and tell and, you know, shape things the way that we know how to shape things, but relationships that call us to go forward with an openness and like so that we can learn from people who are not like us and who don't think like us and probably who don't engage in mission like we do, right? And then in addition to that, Emily, I heard you call us to give our time of all things.
Oh, I know. And I'm bad for it. Just there is so much going on that it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to give your time.
Yeah. Even in a pandemic.
Even in a pandemic.
Maybe especially in a pandemic.
Especially, right. 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 Well, I have been encouraged and I've learned so much tonight. Actually, I should probably say this morning because it's Sunday morning, right? So I want to thank you for joining us for this conversation. And thank you for continuing to call each and every one of us individually and collectively as a church to become more generous people. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Today is Commitment Sunday, the culmination of our annual stewardship campaign. We give God great thanks for each and every commitment made during the season as we prepare and plan for the next year of ministry together at Greystone. If you have participated in the campaign and your pledge is submitted, we want to say thank you. If you have not yet made your commitment and you'd like to do so this week, we are still gladly accepting those in the church office and online. Remember, you can bring your pledge card to the church by appointment, you can mail it to our secure mailbox, or you can submit your pledge online. Thank you for partnering with us for ministry in 2021. The missions team is excited to announce an Advent collection and asks all members to pitch in and help. Our neighbors at Cedar Point need masks for children and teens re-entering school in January. A lot of these kids tend to lose belongings, and since laundering capabilities are limited, more masks are needed per person. We've set a goal of collecting 300 children's and 100 adult fabric washable masks. These masks will be distributed by Refugee Hope Partners according to their observed need. Masks can be handmade or purchased. Starting December 1st and ending December 24th, a collection box will be placed on the porch near the main sanctuary doors for drop-off. We will update weekly on the success of our collection. If each family donates 3 to 4 masks, we can reach our goal. This year, COVID-19 is making everything different, so our Thanksgiving food collection will need to adapt. We invite you to contribute to a special offering called our Harvest Table Offering. Food agencies are telling us that cash donations provide them the flexibility they need to serve their clients effectively. So, this year, we are asking you to make a donation to this special offering in lieu of grocery items. You'll be able to contribute online through our church website, by writing a check and mailing it to the church, or by dropping off your donation to the church office by appointment. The Worship and Mission Committees hope that you will participate in this offering to remember our neighbors struggling with food insecurity as we prepare to set our own Thanksgiving tables. Join us on Sunday, November 29th at 3 p.m. in the Lead Mine parking lot for an Advent wreath-making workshop. You will need a pie plate or tin and some clippers to trim the greenery. We will provide everything else, along with directions and assistance in making your wreath. Please see your church email to RSVP. And finally, if you're interested in learning more about why we are using secular music in worship from time to time, please see this week's blog post for theological reasoning. A link to the blog post is provided in your Sunday email. Thank you for worshiping with us, and we hope you have a happy Thanksgiving.
As you leave this time of worship and return to your lives, receive this benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May God's presence always be alive within you, giving you grace never to sell yourself short, grace to risk something big for something good, and grace to remember that the world is now too dangerous for anything but truth and too small for anything but love. So may God take your feet and walk with them. May God take your hands and heal through them. And may God take your hearts and set them on fire. Amen.
Now's the time. This